When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
He was mentally psychotic.
And your ex.
Yeah. A lot of people say that. To this day, the smartest man I've ever met. But with that came master manipulation to the point where he believed his own lies. He moved to New York City because couldn't stand being in LA. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey besties, welcome back to another episode of I Missed Me. I am extremely excited today because today I have Brianna Wilburn with me and we are going to be talking about traveling and life experiences. Brianna goes to UCLA, so I am extremely excited for you to be here today. Welcome to I Missed Me. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing really good, bright and early.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. We're just talking off camera that you go to UCLA.
Yeah.
And I had to stop you because I want you to share your experience on camera and with the people that are listening. How has your experience been?
Yeah, it was honestly, COVID affected it a lot because classes were online. When I was moving to a new city, I was living with 5 girls. Yeah, and we were all kind of pursuing social media for the most part.
You were all pursuing social media?
In different ways, but yeah.
Wow, how was that?
It involved a lot of LA mansion parties, a lot of sleeping through my Zoom classes. Yeah, and a lot of partying.
Did you get along with the girls, like all of the girls in the house?
Yes, for the most part. Actually, something did happen later on, but it was caused like from my boyfriend. So a little bit different of a situation. That's a whole story in itself. I mean, whew, but basically he broke
You can't share.
No, I can absolutely I can share, but he was mentally psychotic.
And your ex.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people say that, but when I tell you like he was like almost Pakistani royalty, he came from a very different situation. When I ask people from Pakistan if they've heard of his family or his last name, they all know who his parents are. They were politicians. Yeah. And along that, he was so smart. To this day, the smartest man I've ever met.
He was older than you?
Yeah, he was. He was like in a grad school.
Okay.
But with that came master manipulation to the point where he believed his own lies. He broke into our apartment. He was able to keep up with lies for like 8 months, just adding on to them. And these lies aren't like, oh, I didn't see that girl. No, like these lies were huge regarding like his family, like his money, his life, his values. Like they were just insane. Yeah.
How long were you together for?
Not too long, like about 4 or 5 months, but my mom wanted me to get a restraining order after he broke into our apartment. So that was like the final kind of draw. And he only had a year left of grad school, and he actually ended up, he would have gone to residency. He was pursuing his doctorate. He moved to New York City because couldn't stand being in LA, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But his parents gave him like a building to go run in New York City.
So he had money.
Yeah, but it wasn't even like, it's not even like that. Like it was, I don't know.
What do you feel like it was hard for you to let go because of how, because there's two sides of when people get in relationships with narcissists, and a lot of people that listen to the podcast are in like those relationships, yeah, where it's like hard to let go. Do you feel like it was hard for you to let go because you were attached, or him being psychotic and crazy made it easier for you to let go?
Him being psychotic and crazy, I also think out of sight, out of mind. Like I went back home for a month just because my mom wanted me out of that situation. And that's when he proceeded to move to New York. Mm. But I think overall, I'm kind of attracted to that narcissistic. I love the power, and I also love the challenge, like mentally stimulating. I think there's a way, like if you're a narcissistic where you're just like gaslighting the girl or something, yeah, like that. But the reason I fell in love with him in the first place was his mind. Like we would write together. He didn't use fluorescent lights. He just had 100 candles in his room, and every single day would light them up and use that for light.
What?
Yeah. His poetry, like he would do my schoolwork for me or help me with it. He would teach me for hours on end with maps across his room, like teaching me about the world. Yeah. So on one hand, like that's also why I fell in love with him. Right. And I think I'm attached personally to any boyfriend I have, whether they're a narcissistic or not, you know, like letting go of somebody that you appreciate and value and respect. I think once you lose respect for them, that's when it's easier to let go, whether they're narcissistic or not.
Mm-hmm. What is the most like beautiful lesson that you've learned about yourself through understanding that, like, I don't think attachment is a bad thing. Like, loving heart is not a bad thing. Like, what is the most beautiful thing that you've learned, like, about yourself?
Through relationships? Mm-hmm. Probably that the only way that I'm gonna get anywhere in life is if I make a choice. I think that's something that I struggle with, like sticking to a decision and carrying it through. Mm-hmm. Something that I realized with relationships and just in general, like really you can do anything. And it's cliche to say,
yeah,
but even the people you surround yourself with, like they're going to rub off on you.
Yeah.
And it like you have to determine if you want to become that person or not, because you are the five people you surround yourself with. And you spend so much time with your romantic partner. So it's important that you guys have a similar vision of like who you want to be.
Hmm. Now you said something super interesting because you were living in a house with five girls.
Yeah.
How do you think that changed you or shaped you in any way? Like how did that influence the person that you are today?
Yeah, I'm an only child. So that was like and I'm also the only girl in my family. So they were all boys.
Okay.
So it was a huge shock. Definitely. Yeah. But if anything, it taught me the dynamics of friendship a lot more. I've never had where I'm not friends with somebody. My people that I'm friends with, I am friends with them lifelong. Mm-hmm. Like the longest term friend I have is 21 years, and the shortest term is like 9 years. Mm-hmm. So for me, like,
and you're so nice too, like, oh, just so, yeah,
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 you just become family. So when I'm not like as close to those certain roommates anymore, it was definitely a shock, like, wow, you have to put effort into friendships.
Yeah.
You have to do a lot for them to maintain. Mm-hmm. You have to meet somewhere in a common area. And especially when you're friends with people who have strong personalities, because I consider myself to have like a stronger personality. There's a lot of power dynamics that took adjusting.
I think especially if you were all trying to like pursue social media, and that's another question that I had. Do you feel like there was a lot of competition going on, like comparison, like maybe jealousy, or you were all just supportive of each other?
Two of us were like actively pursuing it, but like two of the other girls are in it, whether they're like influencers themselves or like doing it on the side or using it to their advantage business wise. I would say that there was absolutely, absolutely that kind of
competition.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the girls, she's like a good friend of mine. Her name's Sammy. She had already had a larger social media following prior to moving in together. And then something happened where I blew up. And whether spoken about or not, but there was definitely like tension. But I think we've learned that it's better for us to work together than to compete.
Okay.
So it took time. Yeah. But definitely feelings were always involved in that. Yeah. And being honest with each other or being honest with ourselves was hard.
What would your advice be when it comes to comparison? Because I feel like there's always, even if it goes away or even if you work through it, this underlying like comparison of, you know, she has more followers than me. She has more opportunities. She's attending to more events. She's traveling and I'm not. Like, how do you work through that? Has there ever been a point where you've felt that through your social media journey?
Yeah, I don't normally feel that with other people.
That's very healthy.
Yeah, it is. And I think it was my mom was so avid about me being like a star. You're enough.
Yeah.
She was so be independent kind of vibe.
I love that.
But dealing with that from the other side of the point of view, like something that I hold really dear to my heart, like I didn't read comments, never.
I don't read comments too.
Yeah. Either. And it wasn't because I chose that. It's because I didn't care. And it takes a lot to learn. And I've had to kind of help my friends through it. And what I've noticed is that people get really easy to victimize themselves. And that is something I just can't stand for. And whenever I catch myself going down that path, I have to just restart with something new, something else, because it's hard to stop victimizing yourself. And you can say, oh, like, just realize that it's all on you, whatever. Way easier said than done.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest advice is to then do a fresh start where you don't feel that same energy in that topic, in that industry, with those friends, whatever. Yeah.
Or understand that too, like someone doing good doesn't mean that you're doing bad, you know? And I feel like that's a lot of things like girls in general struggle with their friends is like, if she's doing good, then I'm doing bad or I'm not doing enough. It's like, no, like her doing good doesn't mean that you're doing bad or that you can't do as good, you know?
Absolutely.
And I feel like we struggle a little with that. You go to UCLA. That's like a dream school for so many people. I admire you so much for that. I dropped out of college like a month ago.
Really?
Yeah. But growing up, I grew up playing tennis and that was like my dream school because UCLA is like big in sports. Yeah. So that was my dream school. So hearing that, I'm like, wow, congrats. That's so admirable. But you started social media while you were a freshman doing online classes.
Yeah.
How do you think that then affected you, the college experience that you thought you were going to have?
Honestly, I had such a classic American Pie movie-like high school experience. So I kind of knew coming to college that I'd rather spend my time pursuing something outside of academia, because academia only takes you so far in life. And especially my mom, she got her doctorate, never practiced, and then ended up pursuing business. And I think if I were to just use my time for experiences instead, it would be more beneficial. But on the catch side of that, being caught up in the glitz and glam of the influencer lifestyle, like my freshman year, and that didn't necessarily happen for my sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Yeah.
It kind of created some regret. I lost out on what people say is like such an experience or whatever. But going back to what we talked about earlier, is like you have your own path. You have to stay confident in it. You have to not look back.
And
you
it's
know?
A path that like not everyone has.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely. Like I'm kind of dreading graduation when people are going to have their summa cum laude and stuff. And I was top of my class in high school and I took so much pride in how good I was at academia. So to not have those same, you know, awards and members and groups and stuff is going to be hard.
Has that been hard for you? Like, is that one thing that you look back to, like your college experience and being like, I wish I would have been more involved or?
Definitely wish I would have been more involved. I haven't been in a club. You know, maybe like one or two, but it's social media. I'm like an ambassador for UCLA.
Yeah.
So But I definitely don't regret it. Okay. I think this has worked out for me so well. I've taken so much time off. I was fortunate enough to come in with like 70 units done. It knocked off like 2 years. So I've taken, I don't know, like 5 or 6 quarters off. Yeah, an insane amount of time, but it's allowed me to do like a magazine shoot in Dubai or go film a movie, you know? So I'm proud of that. And especially being in the tech space, like you just see people with such good life skills, social skills that I much rather have.
Social skills and like good conversations, you know?
Yeah. I will say though, there's such a learning curve. You know, people always say the richest people are not the people who got A's, they're the ones who got C's. Mm-hmm. And that's been such a life lesson in the sense being a perfectionist, sitting at my desk all day, you know, it does not pan out well in the long run.
Hmm. Yeah. What is like that one thing that you like walk out of college being like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life? Like, what is it? What's that vision that you have, like, you know, that you would want to do?
Probably explore. Yeah, I actually have a tattoo. It's from when I was like 16, a stick and poke, like on my bathroom table. Yeah, no. But it's of a planet. And I have a dream for myself. I want to get out of Earth's atmosphere while I'm still alive. Yeah.
No, wow.
So I think, you know, between traveling or, you know, leading colonization on a different planet, I want to just see as much as I can, get out of here as much as I can. Something that I've definitely realized, my company now is like, you can use AI as a study tool and it just helps you throughout, you know, the learning experience and it personalizes it.
That's
for
your company.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Answers AI. But long story short, I was just yesterday watching users use it and I saw them like entering questions and asking and whatnot. And like this one guy, I watched his 15-minute session on this one problem. I was like, wow, like that brought me so much joy, motivation, inspiration. And I want to keep doing that. So,
do you think it's like your need or like urge to like help people? Is that where it comes from?
I wouldn't say help. I don't think I'm that selfless. Like props to people who are, just being honest to myself, I'm not. But I think creating that much impact and value. So yeah, whether it's like making somebody feel like a princess or like telling them all these neat tips and tricks or, you know, helping their academics. Yeah.
Wow.
Whoever, which way it takes.
So you love traveling.
Yeah.
What is the most beautiful thing that you've learned about traveling?
Oh, that's a really good question. That there's always more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can go to so many different places, but even within those places, there's so many different types of peoples and little boroughs of communities, you know. There's just always...
Besties, when I first started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling hoodies with positive messages on the back, and it is so easy, all just because of Shopify. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online store stage to the first real life store stage, and all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whenever you're selling. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Besties, I truly cannot recommend Shopify enough. You guys know that I have a business and it is hosted on Shopify. So besties, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/mafiansures, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/mafiansures now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, besties, shopify.com/mafiansures. Thank you so much, Shopify, for sponsoring today's episode. Besties, this is for everyone that's looking to learn a new language. Whether you have an upcoming international trip or want to connect with friends and family or a new culture, Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages to offer, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, and so many more. And it immerses you in many, many ways. It has no English translations, which means that you really learn to speak
listen, and think in that language. And I also love that it has speech recognition. It has a built-in true accent feature which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's literally like having a personal trainer for your accent. Besties, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started, and for a very limited time, I Missed Me's listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. Again, besties, that's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. I love you, besties, and I can't wait for you guys to start learning a new language.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's so endless. Yeah.
How has it changed you as a person? Because I feel like traveling is so beautiful, and you can't say everybody has to travel, because I understand that there's people that don't have the chance to, but if you do, then you have to, because it expands your mind in a way that nothing else can.
Absolutely.
And it connects you with people, it connects you with cultures, with religions, with like points of view, and it allows you to be super open-minded in the sense of there's always more. So how has that like had an impact in your way of thinking?
Absolutely. Kind of going to what you're saying, I truly do believe it. You can't expect change without expanding your horizons.
Yeah.
And going into that horizon thing of changing, you know, points of view, keeping an open mind, you know, getting connected to religion, whatever and stuff. For me personally, that has created options. Created options in life. And I think a lot of people feel like they're stuck, or that they don't get this, they don't have that opportunity, you know, this and that. But just to know that there's more out there and somebody else did it, they obtained something, that's how you keep that motivation to always be looking for those opportunities. I have been fortunate to say that I do have a lot of opportunities, but they weren't just handed to me. I had to put myself in a position to get handed them.
And that's
them.
Another thing that I want to ask you. Like,
yeah,
it's a big thing on social media that social media is not a job, and it can be a little controversial for a lot of people, but I still want to talk about it. What do you think about that take?
It's 1,000% a job. No. You know what they declare? 2024, digital marketing is going to be the number one paying profession. That's insane. You know, like digital marketing, being able to sell is how the world's worked since the beginning days. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a caveman trying to get some like extra meat from somebody else, or you're a social media influencer using TikTok shop.
Mm-hmm.
1,000% a job. Yeah, it's how I paid for my college. Yeah, it's how I got presented so many opportunities beyond just social media, to how I found my co-founder for this company, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a job because you put in just as much time and effort, and it's also something 24/7, so I would really say it's more.
Yeah, and I feel like people are never going to be able to understand it if they're not in it, you know? What has been your biggest lesson of owning a business? Because it's not easy.
Yeah. I think it kind of goes back to not being a perfectionist. Keep the ball rolling. That's been
like do now, perfect later.
Yeah, do now, perfect later. Starting is the hardest part. Whether you're starting the company or just even starting that phone call today.
Yeah.
Starting is by far the hardest part. And it's easy to get like so wrapped up in making sure everything's right before you continue, especially for us women. I feel like, you know, we have beautiful handwriting. We want to highlight our notes,
yeah.
You know? We want everything to be
little
so perfect.
Little arrows and like, yeah.
I love organizing my calendar.
Me too, yeah.
But doing it, you know, not as fun.
Yeah, and then at the same time having to run a business, like you don't have time to like highlight every single word, you know?
Not at all. I also think teamwork. That's been hard also, just because, again, being an only child, being such a academic person, I wasn't put in spaces where I collaborated that much. Even social media, like I was on my own, like all my stuff was about me.
And you have the power and control over all of your things. I don't know if this happens to you, but I have always done like all of my stuff myself. I design my stuff. Yeah. And like giving that to someone else and them not being able to do it just like you do it is like, it's like hard to find people that do it just like you wanted them to do it.
Finding, oh my God, personnel. My mom's a businesswoman and she, her whole life has been personnel this, personnel that. It's the biggest, it's what makes the business good or not. Why is Chick-fil-A better than McDonald's? Yeah. You know, because the people there, yeah, they make it that way. And finding employees, not only to do good, but somebody that you're willing to invest in to teach them to do good or to even value the difference of opinion they have and to trust it. Absolutely hard. And coming from a standpoint of like not only just working with people but also realizing, you know, shortcomings of others, shortcomings of myself, and meshing regardless. Yeah, and compromising.
How is it growing up as an only child? Obviously that's your normality because you grew up as an only child, but then growing up and like meeting a bunch of friends that have siblings and like you look back and you say, ooh, I didn't have this or I had this because I was an only child.
Definitely had a lot of attention, probably too much. I mean, I think I crave it, hence social media.
Yeah, and you think that that's reflected on the person that you are today? Like
1,010%. I also just had a mom who wanted me to be in the spotlight. There's like pros and cons about that.
Pros and cons. Can you share?
Cons. It's not good to always have the attention. People don't want to be around it. Girls especially, you know, whole nother thing about that. But huge is pro. Like, I expect more of myself. I expect myself to get in those kind of positions throughout life. I will do my damnest to earn them, you know? Cons... I mean, I don't have anybody to talk to, you know, like, especially when my parents were going through a divorce. Even now, I'm really close with my family, but, you know, when we're older, they're probably going to do sibling stuff. And then I'm kind of, you know, the odd man out. I'm the only, only child. And I just see my parents with their siblings, and we do everything, you know, with their siblings. We don't do much stuff with their cousins, you know? So... that's kind of like a fearful thing in the future. I also think dealing with my parents all alone, like not even just about divorce, but in general, was super hard.
Yeah, can you talk about that?
Yeah. My mom's Indian and my dad's white. And if you can imagine like a short, feisty, fiery woman Indian and my dad's like a Kansas, like kind of like farmer boy, like artist vibe. Just such a clash of values and opinions and what life, they wanted life to look like. So choosing every step of the way what I wanted life to look at like when I had two contrasting opinions telling me what it should look like was hard to decipher, but also hard to just cope with because you always felt like you were disappointing one end.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're, I mean, the fact that you're super aware of it is just like super admirable. What, how, yeah.
Go to therapy, write in a book. Yeah.
You're like screaming, go to therapy.
No, seriously, the, when I remember the first day that I went to therapy.
Why did you decide to go?
So my parents thought it was a good idea. Like after my parents' divorce, my dad left. He moved to a different country and it was just me and my mom. And we've always had a rocky relationship. I think when you're the same sex, you know, between parent and child, you just bash.
And it's when your parents are married too, like, don't worry.
And we've always had like a little rocky of a personality. We're definitely stronger opinions. My dad's a little bit more laid back and like calm. So they thought it'd be a good idea, specifically my mom, for us to work on our relationship. And I was open to it. The therapist that we used, my mom and dad had gone to, my aunt and uncle had gone to, another aunt and uncle like had visited, my cousin went to. So he's just involved in the family dynamics. So we kind of had some backstory and my parents went to them for the divorce. But the first day that I walked in, he said, whether you think you need to sit on the couch, it doesn't matter. You need to sit on the couch. And that was super eye-opening for me because I did journal a lot. I was like, you know, I have a really good, like, wrap on my emotions. Like, I've been very aware my whole life. Yeah.
That's really good. A lot of people don't have that.
Yeah. And especially those people need to sit on a couch and just be brutally honest for themselves. Yeah. And holding yourself accountable in that way and having somebody else hold you accountable. But even more than that, a lot of people are under the consensus therapy or therapist tell you what to do. That's not the case. They ask you questions for you to determine what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a very self-induced process.
Right, someone is guiding you through how you can heal yourself.
Exactly, yeah. And they may have opinions here and there, but ultimately, those sessions, it's kind of like a podcast. You are talking for an hour. You are crying for an hour. You are realizing things and uncovering things in your back of your mind. And it's so, so refreshing to then be able to take action on them. Hmm. Once you get all the emotion out, once you confront life with those emotions and like having a calm, center, grounded point of view, you're able to take action. Mm-hmm. You simply cannot expect change unless you have like really gone through the ringer and had like those deep low points.
Yeah. How old were you when you went through the divorce?
14.
And what wounds do you think that left? We're reflecting growing up, like, do you think it was like fear of separation, or maybe I don't want to go through that, so I'm gonna avoid commitment? Or
I've always struggled with commitment, so that's been a lifelong issue. But I had actually kind of like begged or asked my dad to stay, and he ultimately decided to still go. And I have a great relationship with my parents, so that was really hard that he put himself before me.
Yeah.
It was also eye-opening. My mom's never done that. She will always put me before herself. And, you know, like, my dad doesn't do that in all situations in life. It was just something that he needed for himself, and I completely respect, you know, like, he needs to be happy in life. But with that came this, you know.
At the time, you think it built, like, some resentment of, like, why don't you stay if I'm asking you to stay?
Yeah, like, you're still going to put yourself first.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it taught me a lot as, like, how much loyalty really did mean to me. I think I was kind of naive my whole life that people would act in my best interest. Mm. And they would always be loyal and so forth. And kind of going back to that friend situation, I have never had a friend just like kind of back away or something. Mm. And that was the first time that I realized that people don't stay, you know, and I shouldn't be staying when things aren't right for me.
Right.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you know, when somebody leaves you, you're kind of like, oh, am I really, like, I wouldn't say not good enough, but am I really not worth it?
Right.
You know, is my value in your life really that low? Hmm. So that was a little bit eye-opening, but honestly, I have a really good meter for confidence, and I don't think it hurt my confidence as much as it taught me a lot about loyalty.
Hmm.
Yeah, wow. And selflessness.
How do you think you kind of healed that of... it is okay if he put himself first because that's what he needed at the time. Like, how did you find that within you?
I never lost that within me. I may have felt those emotions, which are new, but I always knew that my parents needed to do what was best for them. And I think on the other hand, like my mom, who does put herself, you know, behind me and will do everything, it's actually resulted in damage. You know, when you are just giving yourself to everybody, it hurts you, which hurts them.
Wow.
So there's the whole other side of it. You have to choose your battles, you know? And also just keeping a great relationship with my parents. Like I've said, I've never stopped being friends with somebody.
And understanding that their issues don't have anything to do with the relationship that they had. Like they have with you, you know, like,
yeah, I've heard people been like, oh, when my parents got divorced, I thought that it might have been my fault. Mm. But you and just being the child of them are two separate things. Mm-hmm. You are your own human. They may have not been able to handle a child, but that's not you. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you didn't choose that. They chose that. That's mm-hmm. based on their own decision of having that child, mm. you know, so... yeah, definitely not letting it hurt your self-esteem. It is what it is, and the only thing you can do is move forward. So why even get caught up in that?
Right.
Yeah.
Bree, thank you so much for being with me today here.
Yeah.
Before we finish, I have a little gift for you.
What?
I have a clothing brand, and the message behind it is that we are all strangers healing together. Okay. Like, I didn't know you an hour ago, and now we had this, like, most beautiful conversation, and I learned so much about yourself, so we are all strangers healing together, so I want to give this to you.
Thank you. This is what? No Name Project. Wow. I like the message behind it.
Yeah.
Why'd you start it?
I don't know. I think I've always had this message of just healing. Like, I've always said that relationships are spiritual assignments for personal growth. And I used to get so hurt when people left my life. And now I'm just like, it was a lesson and it made me grow. And there will be another one, you know? So we are all just like teaching each other things about ourselves through people. We're learning through people. So that's why I decided to start.
I love that. And doing it together, you know, forces are better when they're tackled together than, you know, against each other.
Exactly. So yeah, that's your little gift for today. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
I want to ask you one last question that I ask everybody that comes and I missed me. And that is, what does healing mean to you?
Healing to me means getting through the hard times, picking yourself back up, putting yourself back out there, but this time with better armor, more protected, you're wiser, you know? Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much again. Where can people find you?
At Bree Wilburn on TikTok and Instagram.
Go follow her, and everything will be linked down below. Thank you guys so much for watching. I love you guys so much, and I will see you guys on our next episode. And don't forget that we're all strangers healing together. With love, Mafe.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.